everyone. Welcome to our second episode of the podcast Inspired by Tweets. My name is Ilsa Ida, and with me is my co-bully.
Ahmed Rufai Issa. Is. I don't think that they would agree with you calling me a bully, but then...
Ciao, you're a bully.
Well... I don't agree with you. I'm such a good fellow. Everybody agrees with that.
Indeed.
It's good to be here.
So, again. What's up today?
Yeah, I mean, today is obviously International Women's Day, so I'd like to start by wishing you obviously a very good day. I'm sure you've had something great to eat already because you're a foodie. this is to all the women out there, you know, struggling within their little spaces or progressing within their little spaces or big spaces, breaking glass ceilings here and there. For me as well as, you know, obviously from the both of us as well. So I'll let you go.
Yeah. Happy International Women's Day to all the amazing women out there. All I've ever known are strong women, and just to see just a whole generation of women taking it a step higher, you know, refusing to be limited by what society thinks, you know, just makes me incredibly happy. And, you know, I'm grateful for all the companies and the brands that celebrated us today. But, you know, yeah, sometimes I think that if you don't really have anything nice to say or you have nothing else to contribute, maybe, you know, brands shouldn't just be up and up talking about things they don't really understand. I think what is even more important is that I think a lot more women, there needs to be a lot more female representation in companies, in the boards, on the boards, I'm sorry, and, you know, and the places where decisions are taken, because you're taking decisions for half of the population. So why aren't women half of the decision makers? So, Rufai, I'm sure you have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're one of our champions.
I mean, it's definitely not about making logos, all these fine logos that we commission,
you know,
designers to do. Not about putting up posters or changing profiles and DPs and making all kinds of flashy commitments.
Indeed.
On this day, I think where the bulk of the work is within the places that decisions are made and the places that evidently women need to be allowed, because what it seems like is there's a lot of, you know, roadblock and challenges that people intentionally put that women shouldn't have to deal with. And so those roadblocks don't need to be there in policy rooms, in managerial positions, you know, even with little things as places of buying and selling in the market. So, but obviously for places like social media, we are tired of seeing companies just making noise about it and not actually changing their own, you know, I don't want to call out a specific outfit or anything, but we have car hailing services who have had issues with, you know, their drivers and women for a while now. I'm sure on this kind of day, they will come out with all kinds of fancy listing when for a long time, they've not changed the, you know, they've not done anything with their drivers to actually change what needs to be changed. So those hard decisions is what we are calling for.
Yes, and even for women, you know, and even speaking for myself, you know, we have been conditioned, you know, socially, you know, to serve, you know. So it's why sometimes you'd be in a boardroom, all of you have similar qualifications, but when they want to serve tea, they look to you or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, if you want to, that's fine. But I'm saying that, you know, do not, it's okay to want more for yourself. It's okay to choose and make choices that benefit you. And it's okay to keep orientating the people that are around you about what is acceptable to you and what's not acceptable to you, you know, at work, you know, with remuneration and with choices generally. So rooting for you. I pray that God will keep expanding the possibilities in your mind about what you can accomplish as a woman, and especially with all that energy, intuition and stuff, and expo for employers. If you want a loyal person that will stay with you 15 years, hire a woman. I don't know how you guys don't know this. Like, hire a woman. You know, elevate women in your companies. You know, it's okay to give them the tough portfolios. They can get through it. Okay, yes. Now I'm done talking because if I start preaching.
Well, yeah, you have done well. So hopefully, I think it's time for us to obviously touch on something more important. So,
yes.
So today, I think we should talk about something that's really, you know, evidently important, considering the times that we are in, which is relationships and the pandemic. We know that the last 1 year has been tough globally for people, and we wanted to discuss what it feels like to be in a relationship, either close to the person or far away from the person, as this pandemic continues. In some places, there are still lockdowns. In others, there aren't. So we wanted to, you know, touch on this. And let me know what your views are regarding this.
Okay. So the pandemic, I think, has been less than ideal for relationships. It doesn't matter if it's old, if they're old relationships or new relationships. It has impacted the relationships in a myriad of ways. It left some stronger, while others are being forced to reconsider or restructure their relationships. For many people in romantic relationships, it has aggravated existing tensions. For many people, you know, they use work or children as distractions to deal with the issues in their relationships. And for in relationships where one partner is a social butterfly, you know, just having to be stuck at home without, you know, the opportunity to mingle with people, you know, can have a devastating effect on themselves and on the relationships. And, yeah, you know, for many people, it was easy to attribute the problems in relationships to the hectic pace of life, you know, because at the end of the day, once the pandemic started, that pace of life just shut down. Now everybody's having to confront themselves. You know, first of all, in the pandemic, as an individual, you're having to confront, you know, being alone with yourself. Then, you know, when you're in a relationship or you're living with the person, they're having to confront yourself. They confront the person and their attitude, and they're having to do the same with you. You know, when romance wears off, you know, in a relationship and the reality sets in, you know, there's no more mask, you know, and sometimes it's a function of you're no longer attracted to each other, or you're not working hard on the relationship to, you know, to keep it going and to keep it, you know, just more interesting and stuff. And I mean, people who have even, like, were in relationships that complained about loneliness or depression.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or even the guilt they feel about worrying about their relationships when people are actually dying. You know, there's just all of these things around, you know, pandemic and relationship. But let me hear what you think before, you know, again, I start preaching.
Well, those are definitely insightful, obviously, points that you've raised. I've had to deal with this romantic side of it myself, because the last 1 year has been really tough. But thankfully, in December, things changed because I finally had to see my wife and be with her since that time. But before then, I was obviously away in a
different... Our wife, you mean?
did you pay the bride price? Let me know.
Okay. You don't know that there are many that will beat you if you mess up. We'll just go, lie down, we'll flog you.
I think that just being away from her for a whole year was a very trying experience. And this happened when the pandemic obviously, you know, started, and just living alone while she's there, knowing that also she's lonely and would be better with me, and I am here just trying to work and everything not really happening the way I want it to, was tough. Was really tough. And I can only say that many times I spent a lot of time just lying down on my couch, trying to make sense of things, trying out the best way to just go back home and not have to be here. But obviously I also have professional commitments which I couldn't run away from. So this was my experience. And I think for others, the thing, it's not just about the romantic side, as you've mentioned. It also has to deal with that personal mental health issues that other people have to deal with. So imagine not being able to go out, not being able to see the people you used to see before because there's a pandemic. Yeah. And this was the only way that you could let out some of the emotions that you have or some of the other more personal things that you are dealing with. And so a lot of people struggled throughout the pandemic. And in the last episode, we talked about mental health. We talked about therapy. And I'm sure during the pandemic, there were a lot of people who had to rely on speaking to therapists to survive. And so relationships, I think there were some that actually benefited during this pandemic. Some people have never spent a long period of time with their spouse or their boyfriend or something. And then this happened, and then he's just everywhere or she's just everywhere. They are staying together, spending time together. So this is, I think it goes both ways. For some, it's not a really good experience, while for others it is. And for some of us, the coping mechanism was to over-communicate, talk to people every time, using all these new social media tools for communication that we have. Also create activities that you and your loved one can engage even when you are distant. Even if you are in the same space, it also is good to try out different things that normally you won't be doing. So I think this is the way that I see it. Yeah.
I'm not going to say my experience, but I'm going to say that I think if there was a good thing, I think that probably came out of this. You remember in December how everybody was just getting engaged? Because I felt like everybody was like, you know what? No, it's not good for man to be alone. We're doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And I understood that. Because, you know, I guess for so many people too, you know, you're just like, oh, I'm focused. I need to do this. I need to do that. Anybody got time for a relationship and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, when you're now faced with the fact that you're really alone, you don't have the distraction of work.
Yeah.
Or even interfacing with people, you know, again, you have to confront yourself and realize that, yeah, indeed, you know, it's okay to want more. It's okay to want more human interaction with a special someone, you know. And I for some people, a lot of people found love during the pandemic, and I think that's a good thing, you know. And you know, I think it helped people just open up, make up their minds quickly about, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to wait around, you know, and just be all over the place. I'm just going to do this. Sadly, though, there are also people who record. I mean, there are some places where there was a recorded high rate of domestic violence. I guess being in that closed space, some people couldn't handle the pressure. And for so many families, so many relationships, you know, broke down. And, you know, we just kept hearing some of these domestic violence shelters, you know, that a lot more people were coming in, leaving their homes. You know, I think for many people, women too, it just became, okay, I've had enough, I need to leave. You know, for some men, again, just confronting the fact that, you know, they probably are, you know, violent people, and they need to get help for what they need to do. I think that for people that are still stuck together, you know, because in some countries around the world, there's still many people, I mean, there's still a pandemic, some places are shut down. I think that people need to find alone times you know, even if you're with someone, find a time where you can be alone to do your own thing, you know, so that you're not constantly centering your life around the other person. People say that sometimes exposure to somebody long term may even destroy relationships, but you know, sometimes just find your own thing to do. Maybe you're playing games or she's watching a movie, whatever, just do your own personal thing so that, you know, it helps with the health of the relationship. But what else do you have to say?
I think you are absolutely spot on. I want to highlight that this takes us back to what we were saying at the beginning when we started about commitments, about what needs to be done. I think we have a lot of men in public space or public service spaces that need to, obviously, they have been there. But I think the best thing for most public service spaces is to have the input of women as much as the input of men in trying to shape those places. So we must actually create policies, create regulations, ensure implementation of laws for the safety of women when it comes to this sort of domestic issues. Also, not just women, because we have, you know, other minor cases for we have other cases that involves obviously children.
For minors.
I was going to say minors, but also men as well. So we have to strengthen our laws. We have to ensure implementation of these laws. We have to also create enabling environment and spaces for people to, you know, share ideas, exist without the fear of people abusing them.
I'll just say to that is, I think that for women in those spaces, you know, I think women to also need to put themselves out there. And I'm going to put myself on blast. I'm one of those people. I hate any type of visibility, you know, and for the work that I think I've done with my life, some people say, oh my God, you should be out there telling your story. And I'm like, wait, do I look like a brand? What do I look like, you know? But the truth is, you know, except for maybe people that work in the circles where they do and they appreciate your work or even go about leaving a good word about you to other people, you know, it is difficult, I think, for many women to just put themselves out there. And it should, you know, so that you can get into the spaces that, you know, are close to what you want to do or close to your ideals or close to even your beliefs, you know, so you're able to do something about the issues, you know. And then I'm going to even say something again. I think I tweeted something about how, oh, if a man beats a woman in front of me, that I pity the person, that I release my inner tiger. And then one man came and said, so if a man, if a woman beats a man, so what will you do? And so I had to respond and say, well, I hear you. Thank you for calling me out on what might look like hypocrisy. But point taken, I'm not sure I can ever see someone. I'm probably going to interfere, you know, physically, because, I can't abide by that. But, yep, we've sort of, I think, done justice to that. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Not really. Obviously, again, it's a hard time for relationships, I think, with more patience, distance, and just putting in a lot more work, try to make things exciting. It's a really hard time right now, especially in places that still have lockdowns. So I think that's all I want to add.
Yeah, and I just even remembered, even for people that, I mean, of course, we're talking like, again, you know, for people in our own class, as it were. But let's even imagine people that are daily wage workers and, you know, they're precluded from earning and then they have to face their family. How much pressure that is doing to them mentally and even in their relationships, you know. And I don't think, and these are people that cannot even access any type of therapy. Yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes I always feel like sometimes there's just this loophole, there's just this crack, you know, that we're not paying attention to. Yeah. And, you know, how are those people surviving? But we're pretty much done with that.
Well, I think we should move on to the next topic now. And we wanted to look at, obviously, what do you do when you have no talent? What do you do when you have no talent? And this is actually really, I don't know, this is funny to me because I have some stories to tell, but I will let you go first.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this topic was suggested to us by one of our listeners.
Yeah.
So, hi. Thank you for suggesting this topic. And yes, we're good to discuss it. Now, I'm one of those people they call multi-potentialites, which means I'm able to do several things. I'm skilled with many things. So I may not be in the best position to speak on it. I will just speak on it from certain points of view. But you see, while gifts like singing and painting are obvious and most times natural, it is important to note that talent is relative and often they're not, can be taught. Yeah? From dancing to acting and so many others, what you think someone is gifted with can be achieved on your end through hard work and discipline. So I'm going to say that and say overcome fear and experiment. But yes, let's hear your own plenty stories.
Okay, I think sometime last year, I'd had to sit down by myself and decide, you know, what my specialty is as a person, as an individual, as a professional. And this is where the actual struggle came in, because I sat down for a long time just thinking through all the experiences that I've had in life. What were my passions? What did I really do good at? What were the things that I wanted to really excel at? Or what am I currently just passionate about or driven to achieve? What is that thing? And really, I couldn't find anything in my current life that evidently was the peak of that for me. You know how people, they want to be doctors so bad. And they have the hands or they have the brains. Oh, I want to be a writer so bad. I can't write. I have the imagination and the creativity. Or I want to be maybe a scientist or something. Or I want to code. I want to teach. People are passionate and they have the skill, actually. For me, I think I have sort of in my life touched on a lot of things. I can do a lot of things, and that's what I've discovered. So just sitting down, asking myself, and I couldn't find an answer to all the questions that I sort of asked myself. And then a few days later, I think somebody posted a book called Range, which became really exciting.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Who was the person?
I'm trying
to... Was it not me?
I'm not sure it was you. I'm not sure.
It was me!
I'm not sure.
It was me that sent you that... I'm the one that sent you that picture. Rufai, hey, God.
Okay, thank you for reminding me now, because I totally forgot.
Wow.
I'm not actually lying, because I've tried to remember who sent me that picture till now until you just reminded me. But thank you. Now I have the opportunity to thank you, because that book evidently just helped me in not pressuring myself too much. And it came like a revelation, obviously, because I'm trying to understand, you know, why I am not a specialist. Just one particular field. And even though I've done research, I'm really good at it. I could teach people user research. I've written tons of reports and helped people plan, obviously, for research. I still, you know, have that feeling that there's also something there that I'm also good at. And there's a ton of things that I can do. Right now, what I'm working on has no relationship with what I've been working on in the last maybe 4 years. So this book, Range, by David Epstein, which I would recommend to everybody who has this problem of, you know, who is struggling with talent or specialty as I do, you know, should read it. And he talks about how evidently there are people who are born generalists. They don't have to be specialists in any specific field. And so in itself, it's a good thing, because You know, he went through a series of stories capturing the lives of really successful people who also had to, you know, stumble from one field to the other until they were able to find themselves. So if you have no talent, what you should do is, as you've said before, try to build every other skill that you have, and within that, find something that you are really passionate about and try to shape it towards that. Yeah.
I think, you know, in self-discovery for myself and that's tautology. In my own self-discovery, yeah. And I work with quite a number of young people. I mean, one thing you'll come across over and over again is that some people are talented in, you know, in what they do. And there's some other people are skilled and disciplined, or disciplined and even committed. Now, for example, I work with the two people that are, one is, okay, like my chief of staff, and the other person is like my research assistant. And now I say to one, I can give both of them the same assignment. Now, one person will do, and I say to them, oh, I need this by 1 a.m. One person will send the assignment in by 1 a.m. The other person will send in by 6 a.m. or by 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. when they wake up, you know, because yeah, they can't be bothered. But now the person that sends by 8 a.m. is better skilled, right? And the person that sends by 1 a.m. is skilled as well, but not as skilled as the person that sends by 8 a.m. And that says to me something in the time of who can I rely on? Is the person that will deliver when I need something delivered. Do you understand? Yeah. So I think that skill, I mean, discipline and commitment is even a better thing to just even having talents. Because talents will open the door for you, but skill and discipline will keep you inside. Yeah. You know, so point is to always find a skill and develop it to your advantage. So for example, learning how to bake a cake is not a talent in the sense that it is a skill that if repeated often, you know, becomes, or something that if repeated often becomes a skill. So, you know, find, and I think it's imperative that, especially for young people that feel all this pressure about doing stuff before they're 25 or before they're 30, like, please just find your purpose outside social expectations. If you're the kind of person that wants to, you know, you see some of these arts that we see where somebody is trying to create, is creating art with nails or creating art with, you know, bottles and stuff, you know, just try to find something outside of societal expectations. This pressure to be the best and to get there fast is very intense. But center yourself, you know, and do things at your pace and not for the internet. You know, ask people around you. Again, just overcome fear and keep experimenting. If you try something, you don't like it. You know, I mean, every year, as old as I am, I write out two or three things I want to learn. I think last year was I wanted to learn calligraphy or something. I mean, I have a nice handwriting. I just thought, you know, I wanted to have this penmanship stroke type thing. You know, this year, and last year I said I was going to learn how to do some sort of design that I hadn't learned already. I learned it. You know, so just keep trying stuff, overcome fear and keep experimenting. But do you have anything else to share?
I would say that for most people, I have, for example, coached a soccer team before. And I give this example because I found it to be a case of where, obviously, talent and hard work kind of cross each other. Filled with footballers. And I was coaching, it was like an under-18 side in Nasarawa State when I lived there a few years ago. And I've had this kid who came in, doesn't know how to play football. He wanted to be a striker so bad. And so I also have this kid who knew how to play soccer so well, but he was, you know, a sort of a truant. And so I'll give a very specific example. In this game, this guy who is not, you know, as talented as the other kid, comes in time, does all his work, make sure he's present, and the other guy has his. So we had this game where we had a need for a striker, And this guy, who was obviously talented, came in late to the game. And his expectation is that, you know, no matter what, they can't do without me, so I can just come anytime that I like. And so what happened is, his intention is, no matter who starts, he's going to end up coming into the game and making his, you know. And so what I did was that I introduced the guy who obviously isn't as talented, but then was committed. And I say, look, you know, we'll try as much as possible to bring the ball to your feet. We'll play to your strength, which is you have power, you can, you know, guide a defender. What I want you to do is make sure you keep the ball when it's come, protect it, and then give it to the next man coming. And this is what he did. He knew how to do excellently well. He couldn't dribble. He couldn't, you know, obviously score that much. But just by doing that effectively, he was able to score his first goal in that game. Because those other people he was holding the ball for created the chances that he needed, obviously, to execute for. And so that was what we did. So if you have no talent, obviously there's definitely something you can do. Everybody can do something a little.
Absolutely.
But what you need to do is work on that thing every day until obviously you become better at it. You don't have to be a specialist. You can have diverse skills. You can have so many skills and you can leverage them. And everybody can do it, a utility team member in a team. So that's what
yes.
I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we'll just run over to the next topic. So the Gen Z versus millennial wars. I think if I would go first, but let me just quickly explain that.
Yeah. Explain it.
Millennials are born between 1981 and 1997, and Gen Zers are born between 1998 and 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's
people
the
are issue? Just born today.
What's the issue? Eh? Why? Is
I
this...
don't know. You tell us.
So evidently, there's a culture clash, if you like, between people born in this different time space that, you know, also just help us understand. Millennials and Gen Zs are currently at loggerheads. There's a war going on of who is duper than the other one. Obviously, yeah. Gen Zs believe this is their generation and no one can say anything to them because they are more talented. They have TikTok and they can do whatever old people like Elsa cannot do. But I'm just joking. But yeah, and so this war has been going on everywhere on social media for a while now. I don't know. It seemed very interesting to me that two generation leveraging on each other are kind of at war now. And this seemed to me like I don't know. You know, we had the Cold War, obviously. But this one... this one seemed like there's a lot of missile going in between the two generation of young and old people. Not too old, obviously, but the more younger generation. So I think that's what the issue is. It's a battle for supremacy, either of talent or, you know, wokeness or cultural superiority. It's just some sort of clash going on. Which myself, as a member of the old guard, cannot, you know, define much.
But I think that for I think, oh, are you done?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I think the millennials are caught between Gen X and Gen Z. So they seem, in my mind, I think that they understand the older generation and also understand the younger generation. They're like that melting point, you know. But the point is, they're always trying to the issue with millennials and Gen Z is that they're always trying to exert dominance over the other. Gen Z is always like, yeah, y'all are dull, y'all are not that bright, you know. I mean, I was like, will you shut up there? You know, we're this, we're that. you know. And so millennials are always looking for reliability and consistency. And, you know, you and I have been spoken about, even with work and with some of the people that we've worked with in the past. Gen Z is always looking for innovation. A millennial rather stick to something that they know and trust, and Gen Z is always impatient and ready to jump ship once their new requirements are being met, in my opinion. Don't flog us for this. It's our opinion. We have a right to the opinion. And there's an unbelievable, you know, amount of pressure on Gen Z to succeed as soon as possible. You know, pressure that, you know, millennials don't want to bear. I mean, we seem to understand the process, which is you work hard. It's not going to happen in 1 month or 2 months or even a year. It will happen over a period of time once you're consistent and once you work hard. But the Gen Z seem to have a different outlook. And from what I see, again, I'm not speaking about everybody. From what I see, it seems to affect, it seems to cut across all the things that they do. So whether it's in changing jobs or even with relationships, they're like, oh, I can't do that. If he doesn't do this, then I'm out. If she doesn't do this, then I'm out, you know? And there is nothing, in my opinion, you can see me stressing, my opinion, that doesn't take time. Everything requires process, you know?
Yeah.
And so they always come up with, you know, the pressure allows them come up with platforms that celebrates people at their best, you know, while the struggles are rarely highlighted. So that's what a TikTok, for example, would do. You know, I mean, it's a great innovative thing, you know, allowing people edit and act, you know, all at once. But it also just highlights, you know, lovely things. You know, there are things that people struggle with that, you know, can't be highlighted by social media. Really, there's some things you will have to go through by yourself. Yeah. You know, you'll have to experience behind closed doors. But I think that places the pressure on Gen Zs who end up just, you know, just competing with not just themselves, but with millennials and sometimes baby boomers who have had a head start earlier, you know, in capitalism and stuff. And they are very vocal about issues. That's one thing I admire about them. You know, they're a bit more vocal. Mental health, passion projects, the fight for systemic and societal equality, you know, they put everything on the line for anything that they consider important. And, you know, millennials, on the other hand, they're a bit more pragmatic. They're a bit more practical. They're a bit more realistic. You know, it's like when you say you want to change something within the system, but then you don't want to enter the same system, like, child, you're just joking. You're not going to do anything outside the system. You have to go and walk the system. And sometimes it's just by breaking or chipping, you know, at the structure. You know, somebody comes with their hammer today, breaks one part, another one, you know, that's what happens. So there's a lot more focus on the pros. I'm sorry, I said prawns. Oh, my God, I'm thinking about prawns. There's a lot more focus on
food.
I'm not a foodie, but I am thinking about prawns. But, okay. There's a lot more focus on pros and the cons, as well as realistic outcomes. Ideologies, I think, differ for both groups. And they both come with different advantages and disadvantages. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about the Gen Zs and millennials.
Yeah, I think for me, just to just buttress that point that you made, and this is, I'm just going to do it quickly because we are evidently running out of time. Which is that I kind of like take that attribute of this Gen Z, which is we need to aggressively change systems that undermine people and oppress them. And I'm very much in tune with that. But also, in line with millennials, I don't think that, you know, we should just do it by just catering everyone along the way or just canceling people or stuff like that.
Yes.
I think, yeah, everything isn't black and white. There are nuances, perspectives and context to things, and so we should try as much as possible to understand as we go. But on the more fun side, it's good to see all the memes, GIFs that have been flying around in this noble virtual world. for generational supremacy. Having said that, I think we'd just roll on to the next topic. Evidently, we wanted to talk about something that trended on Twitter last week. And still, maybe during the weekend and early part of this week, which is the breastfeeding video that kind of made its way onto the internet via Instagram and onto Twitter and other parts of the internet. And a lot of people had things to say, which is a video that obviously was posted by this couple, Aka and Claire, who are YouTubers, and they were talking. I'm sure people are familiar with the issue. And I want to hear your take. I know that you had a lot to say about it, as well as I do. And so, yeah.
Well, I guess not a lot to say about it. Again, I try not to impose my personal views on some of these things when people do it. If it's okay for them, if it's something they like to do and like to share, that's fine, you know. But looking at the context for which they did that, I think I was very, I really sort of felt a kinship with Claire, in the sense, in the way she addressed and marshaled her points, you know, articulating what she wanted without raising her voice. I felt like that was a good thing. You know, I don't understand this thing, people always yelling at each other. I mean, both of you can't be mad at the same time. You know, I mean, she just clearly articulated her points and, you know, was sharing what she was uncomfortable with, what the focus of her discomfort was. And I think, you know, the fact that, look, at the end of the day, they're listening to each other. And I think that that's a great thing in a relationship. The fact that one can hear the other and can listen and say, okay, here's what I'm uncomfortable with. This is what I'm thinking. I mean, that's fine. And I pray that they're able to solve the issue and, you know, keep growing and be blessed in their marriage. Again, I don't think too much about when people share personal things online, you know. It's their prerogative to do that. But yeah, I try not to make entertainment of people's personal things. But yeah, those were my thoughts.
You're right. And, you know, I share that thought as well. I was just concerned by obviously some of the things that the young man was saying. I'm glad they were able to go back and forth and ensure that they understood each other. Because when it comes to breastfeeding, I don't think he's an expert in any sense of it. You know. So all he can do, I think, is just be there and support her, not try to add extra pressure. You and I both know that she's already under some certain kind of pressure. So I just adding is making things worse. And I think all he can do in this point is to just be there and be the friend, the companion, the husband, the, you know, relative or whatever that she needs at the moment. And as you have said, they did show us a few lessons here and there in how to obviously dialogue and listen. There were a few incidences where people mentioned him, you know, gaslighting what she's saying. But also people who they've always put themselves out there willing to have this conversation in the public because they're YouTubers from when they were dating till this point. I think we needed to just touch on it because it was trending on Twitter. And now we will move to the fire question, which indicates that we are coming to the end of this.
Talk about Meghan Markle in My Lovely Harry.
Yes, yeah, please.
So today, hallelujah, I woke up to the video and news and tweets about Harry and Meghan. Now, anybody who knows me knows that that I don't play with these two. I remember the day they were getting, in fact, when they announced the engagement, I appointed myself as the Ashwebi coordinator for West Africa. Because, you know, I was just like, I love love. You know, I got to get with these two. And then the day they were getting married, I was literally on a road trip because for some work I had gone to Enugu. And I was on a road trip back to Abuja. I remember the person that was my project leader at the time. I was like, you're the one who gets me to this time. You know, you know I need to be knowing what's happening. I'm telling you, somebody that was my ogre, he would tell me, oh, yeah, now they are kissing. Now they're engaged, they're exchanging rings. Because he had to, I felt like I was robbed of seeing their video live, you know, and he did that work for me. So thank you. Thank you for helping me do that back then. So, I mean, anyone who knows that I'm in love with Harry and Meghan. At a point, Seth, I used to be like, huh, are these younger men, Seth? Is this where the thing is, you know? But never mind, that's a joke. yeah, that's a joke for Gardens. anyway, so I haven't seen what they have had to endure in the past few years. I am not, it's tough, you know, I think that Meghan knew what she was getting into. I mean, she left her work, for a woman who is independent, trust me, the scariest thing for her to do is to leave the source of her financial independence at that time. You know, to follow love. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, is that a smart decision? But she did. Not like because she knew, she would suffer or anything. It was just because with financial independence comes some independence. You know, it means that you're able to do things you want to do when you want to do, when you're not dependent on another person for money. And just seeing, I mean, and I loved seeing them up and down. You know, it just reminded me of Princess Diana. You know, and just seeing that their love, you know, was, and all that it was doing. So now see all of the chaos that, you know, came out of that. And then to see the, you know, just some of the things that they said during the interview, it just broke my heart. I just watched 4 minutes of the interview. And I could see that I was about to break down. I had to shut down. I was like, I'll watch it later at night. I'll curl up in one corner and cry. Because it's definitely not fair, you know, for them to have experienced or gone through that kind of thing.
True. You're right. And I agree with you. To see that we live in a world where, you know, people can just gang up against a young couple who just have space to actually be with themselves and be who they are, it's remarkable, you know. Britain and the press, obviously, the way that it's structured has always been behind the monarchy, no matter who comes in. And I've always been of the opinion that there was precedent in place for, and I was just telling my wife, you know, love is great, everything. And when we're in love, obviously we want to go against the world and everything. But the Diana precedent that was set in that family, I didn't think that anyone should be going close, especially with the fact that Diana she's British, you know, and this is an American. Somebody who is also black coming to, you know, marry into that same system. I had my reservations. But then, you know, this is life. Love would definitely win over a lot of things. And the expectation was that they would let them be. Hopefully we are in a millennium where Gen Zs are teaching us to embrace new ideas and everything. But it seemed like the monarchy is hell-bent on not embracing any form of changes. You know,
at all.
Yeah, so I think that's my view. I think that the press need to back off. This lady is a young woman. Harry is also a young man. They have a kid, and what they just need is space to love each other. You know, it's remarkable that the monarchy has allowed evidently people outside to be part of a family thing and just take a stab at somebody who is their son, who just needed to just be with his wife. All they needed to do was just be with him and help him navigate this change that he wants to make, you know. And this is not the case, as we have seen. And I hope that the press learns to just, you know, stop writing evil stuff, unkind stuff, inhumane stuff about a young man and his wife, and just demeaning a human. And I think the evil that the British government has done around the world and the British press is enough already. You know, a lot of the racism that they've, you know, engineered, and a lot of the hate they've engineered is enough already, and they need to learn from all those. But it seems like they are hell-bent on not learning anything. So, here we are. I think this is all I have to say. But I feel for both of them. I just pray that they find the, you know, the chance to just be with themselves and try to, you know, be strong in this moment. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Sure. I mean, I just pray that, you know, they just allow them be, you know, just allow them build their family, you know, love on themselves, and just be at peace, because it's too much. The vitriol is too much. I mean, her saying that she wanted to commit suicide. It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. It's too much. I hope things change for them. Anyway, let's try and end this on a more fun note.
Yes.
With the fire questions, which you know, I particularly like, because I get to learn more about you, and ensure that you are not hiding anything from us. And
it will take 100 years to peel those layers. But please carry on.
Okay, here we go. In today's fire questions, I want to start with this fun one, and I love to see what your take is. Google or Wikipedia?
Google or Wikipedia? Google. I'm a Google girl.
That's exactly why I wanted to. You know, obviously people find stuff.
I Google everything.
Yeah.
I even Google spelling. The other day I was asking myself, how did I used to spell before Google? Like when I feel like I'm spelling something wrong, I quickly go check on Google. Yeah.
I think this is the same for a lot of us, you know. I also use Google that much. So you are not alone. Don't feel alone. Don't feel alone. So next, Chrome or Opera? Chrome. Crime thrillers or adventures?
Adventures. Yeah, I hate thrillers.
I love crimes. Documentaries or newsreels?
Documentaries.
Wigs or natural hair? Don't blame me.
wigs, because I like to go from looking like pink to looking like Beyonce to looking like, I like wigs. It helps to change the look. I like leaving people confused about what I look like.
Okay, I know you have some glasses right now, so I'm gonna ask: eyeglasses or bare eyes, just like me, no glasses.
I mean, I'd rather bare eyes. Unfortunately, I need them to see stuff from that afar. Yeah, and when I'm working on my computer, yes.
Okay. Next one is sticky notes or notepads.
Both. I use them in equal proportion.
Really? I'm a stickler for notes. I can use them for anything, literally. And maybe because I'm a researcher, so.
Okay.
Why? Medication or injections?
injections. They're fast and I never have to deal with them again.
Not me.
I never take
injections. Really? Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Netflix.
Great.
Netflix.
Well, that's the last one I have for you today.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you weird questions, so you best be ready. So economics or law?
Ooh, I think economics for me, because it's a determinant of a lot of things. And I think that if you look at it, even the legal profession would, in a way, have to depend on the economic conditions of a certain society. That's just some weird point I needed to bring up. But yeah, economics for me, definitely.
Okay. Social enterprise or nonprofit?
I have worked in a social enterprise. I think there's a side of me that's for nonprofit. Evidently, I've supported a lot of nonprofits, but yeah, I'll say nonprofit. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Android or iPhone?
Definitely iOS. iPhones. Definitely.
Phone calls or text?
I would say text.
Yeah. Okay. Gold or silver?
I'd say gold.
Formal wear or traditional wear?
By formal, do you mean suit, tie, everything? I hate those. I'll go for the traditional wears any day, any time. I think I've worn suits just maybe once or twice in my whole life. So,
now we know what to get for you on your 40th birthday.
Well, this is why I chose the tech life, so that I could be.
So that's all I have for you today.
Well, then I think that brings us to the end of this episode, and before we round up, I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone who sent us the feedback listening to the last episode. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We hope that you listen to this one as well and give us feedback as you did the last time. We tried as much as possible to change a few things, and let's hope that we've managed to achieve that. Yeah.
Thank you all so much. We truly appreciate you just sitting down to listen to if I and I just blabbing our mouth. Or even liking what we even say. That's like, what? This next level. Thank you so much. And I think till next week, where you see us again, talking about something else. This is me signing out, Ilsa Aida, and my co-host.
I'm Edu Faisa. Thank you very much for your time.
I watch again how he said like an NTA correspondent. But we'll come. We'll keep dealing with that too. We'll make him cool.
I have nothing to say. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye.
Yeah.